Welcome to SonaCast, a podcast from the team at Sona Nanotech Inc. Sona's unique gold nanorods will power next-generation diagnostic devices and medical applications. In every podcast, we seek to learn more about our industry with expert insight and special guests.
Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of SonaCast. This week, our guest is Kristin Cederquist, a research scientist at DCN Diagnostics in California. Sona CEO Darren Rowles talks to Kristin about her day-to-day role as a scientist at the forefront of lateral flow research and development and the future of the technology.
So my name is Kristin Cederquist, and I am a research scientist at DCN Diagnostics, which is in North San Diego County, California. What DCN does is we take our clients' inputs, that's custom lateral flow development, and we develop a lateral flow assay around what they want. So drugs of abuse, infectious disease, non-infectious disease, agricultural samples, soil, food, milk, water, all sorts of different samples. If it's liquid or it can be made into a liquid form, we can test it. So we have, at any given time, I'd say 10 to 15 lateral flow projects going on. So sometimes the client just wants to transfer to manufacturing. Sometimes they want to start from the very beginning. So we as research scientists, we handle all of that.
Wow. And this, you guys sound pretty busy, from a day-to-day basis then, having to deal with so many clients, which is great news. So you mentioned you're a research scientist. So what does your day-to-day role involve? Give me a typical day of Kristin, or I guess it probably changes day-to-day, I guess.
Oh, it does. Definitely. So the first thing is coffee. That's always the most important thing.
Absolutely.
But beyond that, we always have coffee at DCN available because I'm not the only one who likes to partake. But it does vary. So we're constantly focused on our detection methods. So we're always conjugating particles, and that can be gold, different colors of latex, or cellulose nanobeads, and then even fluorescent particles like europium nano and microspheres. So we're always doing conjugation. We're always preparing materials, so striping antibodies onto nitrocellulose membranes for testing. And then we're actually doing the testing itself. So we're working in blood, in fecal matter, in urine, in plasma, tears, cerebral spinal fluid. There's always something fun and interesting out on the bench, and sometimes some interesting smells. So we're always, we're up and around. We really do get right in there with biological testing. So we make all of our materials at DCN, all the materials required for lateral flow, sample treatment pads. And then it's a hierarchy. So we have, those are dependent on our buffers. So we have to make the buffers, and then you have to make the raw materials, and then you have to treat the pads. And only then can you put the test actually together and test. So we're always in some sort of the area of making materials and testing materials.
Wow. And within your day-to-day stuff, so do you get the opportunity to do all those things, or do you have like a set part of that whole process that you particularly focus on?
Oh no, we do it all. Some people might be caught in sort of in a phase two or later phase stage project. So they're mainly they're not really looking at screening sample pads or looking at sample treatments or conjugate pads. Their assay has been worked out. And so they're just involved with, lot-to-lot testing and batch-to-batch variability. Mm-hmm. For me, right now, I actually started a new project yesterday. So I am in the very early stages of screening, antibody concentrations and pH onto gold conjugate. And today I'll be making a latex conjugate. And striking membranes. So, we make our own buffers. So, if it's something, we do have a set amount of buffers on hand made by our staff. But sure. If it's something weird, like for instance, 2 molar tris for treating a urine sample, well, we're going to make that on our own. So, as a research scientist, you do it all. You're expected to do and learn very quickly. And that's kind of what makes DCN so special in the development stage.
And is this you mentioned you're just at the start of a new project. Is this the best part of the process? Is this the most fun bit, or have you got like more of a preference as you go through the whole process? Because, as you say, these things aren't they're not quick You know, you don't do the whole thing in like a week or two. You know, it's over a number of months. So what's the most fun bit for you?
This is my favorite. Yeah. you cut it right on the head. I come from academics, so a long time ago, but it's always, you know, fun to get in and sort of, you know, tack down the big things first and see, oh gosh, this is not going to work at all, oh, but this looks promising, and sort of head in that direction. Mm. This is the part of development that's most close to research, so it's very exciting for me to see what works and what doesn't, and you know, to get a good stable conjugate is always like a, oh yeah, good job, you earned another cup of coffee.
Absolutely. Definitely. I'll team it like that in our labs for sure. They're like, yes, we got a result, brilliant, coffee time.
And you know, if you don't get a stable result, then that means you get a beer. So you can be happy either way.
Yeah, no, I'm certainly not going to profess that, I don't think, to our team. They'd be like, oh yeah, we didn't get a good result this time. More beers, please.
More beer, yep. yeah, it is the most exciting part for me. I really like this early stage, and I've been, you know, sort of been lucky to get on a whole bunch of different early stage projects. It's just fun to, you know, when the client sees something and it's a positive result, because we've got sort of tips and tricks to, you know, kind of go sort of fast track it and be like, okay, we know based on this and this and this, it's happened before, and the basic principles of lateral flow, we know sort of what's going to have the best potential of working. So we can skip right to that.
Yeah,
client gets pretty excited.
Yeah, you get a kind of through experience, you kind of get to know what a good starting point is. You know, kind of where to start with, based on sample, based on what they're trying to test for, and everything else, right?
Yes, yeah, and then the different sample matrices. Some are easier, some are very difficult.
Yeah.
So we kind of have ways of navigating that.
So what do you think is the most difficult one then? I think I've got a feeling of what you're going to say, but I'll let you say it.
Well, I would say that there are some easier ones. So, you know, for instance, plasma doesn't change a ton between person to person. The pH stays the same, and it might change based on a disease state, but it's not super, super diverse. Fecal matter, on the other hand, is very diverse and very, you know, it requires a lot of treatment, filtration, and things like that. So that can be a very difficult one to work in.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say fecal matter. Ugh.
Yeah.
not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, I hope it's not their cup of tea. they need to get another cup of tea.
For sure. Oh, great stuff. Okay, so I mean, by the sounds of it, you get to see like a lot of kind of new things coming through, and as you say, especially if you kind of like to do the front end of stuff. So there's lots of new things happening in the world of lateral flow from a technical perspective at the moment. You know, everything from labels to new materials to reader systems and everything. Can you outline? See if you can outline some of the kind of new developments and trends that you're seeing that you're getting excited about.
Okay, so there are, yes, I love all the reader stuff, and the materials are very interesting as well. I'm a particle person, so of course I love the labels. And I've heard you get into chemistry for one of two reasons, it's either you like fire or you like colors. And for me, it was I like colors. And so when I was in graduate school and kind of learning about, you know, especially plasmonic options, it was like, oh, this is really cool, and seeing all the different things. And that was when Kathy Murphy was coming out with her rods and involved with the CTAD synthesis. And someone once told me in an interview that I looked like her, and I was like, oh, that's the best compliment. It's like saying I'm Iron Man, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, carry on, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's what I get the most excited about, is seeing all the different labels, the different sizes, the different shapes. It seems like people are very, you know, they want to stay with a sort of isotropic particle, so a spherical particle, but that's just because that's what a client knows. Sometimes they come in and they say, oh, we want gold, we don't want any of your other fancy offerings. And it's like, oh, but the fancy offerings could help you here. But they're so used to seeing gold. So it's just, we want gold, we want to stick with gold. But then the clients come in that say, oh, you know, we want our control line and our test line to be different colors. Or we want, you know, multiple lines on a strip because we want to multiplex and we want to look at the cross reactivity between those, and that can come with colors. And that's where I get really excited personally. I like seeing all the different labels, all the different, not just dyes. I think dyes are kind of too easy. I like seeing different plasmonic labels. DCN is now distributing the particles from nanocomposites. So they have a regular colloidal gold, which is covalent. So you do attachment just in a slightly different way than the passive absorption that you usually do for gold. But then they also have their gold nano shells. So they've got, just like rods, they've got, you know, two bands in the UV vis that make them look really dark teal. So a very dark blue color. And that's very different from the red that you see on the strip. So we are using those as well in our development, which is really interesting. So I love those sorts of things. Great. That's where I got excited personally.
Yeah, no, I can only agree. I think, you know, certainly I speak for myself and the rest of our team as well. You know, we get excited about the similar things. Obviously, you can imagine from our nanorod perspective, and just the kind of the response from that we've seen from people in the market. As you mentioned, you have clients that have, they're used to gold and they're used to seeing those red lines on red solutions in bottles. But actually when you show them the various different colors and how that translates through onto a membrane into a test system, and that you can show the added advantage around the multiplexing and so on, you know, they kind of get really excited just as much as we do then. So I think certainly it's exciting from our point of view, and it's great to hear that, you know, somebody else has a similar vision and view around it. What do you think the future holds for lateral flow technology?
You know, it's a great question, and I think about it a lot, but there's just so much to say. I think that readers will definitely are certainly getting better. So what we've seen a lot is people move toward reader-based assays, because if they want sensitivity, they've got to, you know, eventually go fluorescent if that's something that they really, really want. I think the reader technology is just getting better and better and better. I'm not sure about, you know, cell phone cameras yet. They might, you know, with Novarum and things like that, that might be an avenue. But we've only seen reader technology get better and better and better. And I think in terms of filters and in terms of really dialing it into a certain optical signature of a certain particle, I think that they can become very attuned to just one optical signature. So I see them sort of getting better sensitivity-wise that way. Multiplexing, you had a great podcast on multiplexing last episode. Definitely, we've done some tests that are a lot of lines, so many lines that we had to buy a bigger nitrocellulose to fit them all on there.
Oh, wow.
And that's what people are going towards. They want, you know, more bang for your buck, not just one test line, one control line, but maybe seven, maybe eight, maybe more.
Yeah.
So I certainly think that that's, and but of course that increases it gets a lot more complicated when you have more lines.
Indeed.
But I think that's definitely an area that people are going to as well. So it's a very simple, it's deceptively simple technology that you know, but has a lot of promise still. It hasn't died yet, like everyone expected it to.
No, I agree. I think I can only see it growing in all honesty, and I'm not saying that just because I'm in the market. I don't want to put any bias on it, but I think, as you say, with you know, the creation of new biomarkers and biomarker fingerprinting and stuff, you know, they're identifying new ones all the time for different infectious diseases and lots of other autoimmune diseases and so on. I think, but each of these biomarkers have, you know, more than one target. Where you probably need to add, you know, as you mentioned, in some instances, 6, 7, 8 lines, you know, because you need a full panel there then to say, well, okay, that's the fingerprint for this biomarker, which indicates XYZ. But you need to have positives on all those. But obviously there's pros and cons on that. If you put in multiple strips all on one, you know, piece of nitrocellulose, as opposed to, you know, just one line, one target line on multiple different strips of nitrocellulose. And, you know, and as you mentioned, the podcast, Mike Mansfield from Millipore, you know, kind of described some of those pros and cons in the last episode. So I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yes.
I've got two questions for you. Sorry if I don't want to take up too much more of your time.
Oh, that's okay. You're fine.
Great. So I've just penned an article for Diagnostics World magazine, which will be published soon, and it's about it kind of ties in with the whole multiplexing thing and about getting people to think about, you know, to stop making single line throwaway tests to help reduce the plastic burden, you know, because obviously that's a big issue at the moment in terms of you know, single use plastics being thrown away, and obviously the majority of ours in our industry kind of get incinerated, but obviously ones that over the counter, which is probably, you know, quite a large proportion of single use plastics, you know, from pregnancy tests, for example, you know, just get thrown straight into a commercial bin, you know, and then who knows where they end up, probably in landfill majority.
Right.
So we're kind of, you know, so for me, you know, around the future of lateral flow, I think, you know, we should be kind of asking developers and other, you know, groups within the industry that, you know, that we all work in and that we all serve, you know, around kind of what are we doing as an industry and as a group to kind of help reduce that plastic burden. And obviously we got plastics in the single use housings. There's obviously some form of plastic in the nitrocellulose, you know, with the laminate, mm-hmm. with the lamination, you know, tapes and all the rest of it. So when I'm at the conference in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to talk to a few of the suppliers there around kind of what their plans are around it, if they've got any. You know, people don't necessarily always think of these things and consider them, or whether they,
yes.
they've got bigger other business problems to deal with. But you mentioned reader technology, right? So we were saying about, like,
yes.
camera phones, you know, not necessarily as good as our eyes. So imagine if we were able to integrate a reader system on a little 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter, you know, kind of contact lens that would be able to kind of give you, to be able to look at something from a qualitative perspective so you can see the difference, but then be able to capture the data somehow, you know, in this kind of contact lens. Imagine if we had something like that. That would be amazing.
That would be fantastic, because it would remove, you know, subjectivity and things like that. You know, you see it, I don't, sort of thing.
Exactly, exactly. We're all looking at the same thing and capturing our data. So, you know, that's maybe someone out there will invent that kind of technology. Maybe we'll help them invent it. Who knows?
That would be super cool.
You know, but we've got self-landing rockets now. We've got self-driving cars pretty soon. So why not? Why can't we have these kind of things?
I know. I wish there were more hours in my day.
Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe that's something that we'll do in about 5-10 years time together.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Yeah, I've never even thought about something like that. I bet someone has. I bet someone's working on it right now.
Yeah. If not, they will be after listening to this.
Yeah, I know.
They stole an idea. We need to patent that pretty quick.
Darn it!
Right, I'm just gonna email the IPO office, right? Just all that.
Yeah, do it real quick.
Yeah, let's get that patent in, for sure. Right, brilliant stuff. Well, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. Okay, right. Well, you have a great morning. You know, have a great rest of the day. And I really appreciate your time and talking. It's been really great to kind of get your insight on the whole lateral flow world and a little bit more bit more of an understanding of what you do and what DCN does. It's fantastic. You guys do great work there, you know, and I'm sure we'll certainly cross paths and work together in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. It gets my morning going.
Brilliant stuff. Have a great day, Kristen. Thanks very much.
That's all from Sonacast this week. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss future episodes. Also, make sure to follow us on social media to keep up to date with all the latest news and analysis from Team Sona. On Twitter, at Sona Nanotech, on LinkedIn, just search for Sona Nanotech Inc., and on Instagram, Sona_Nanotech. Team Sona will be attending various industry events throughout 2019, including the lateral flow course in San Diego, Medica in Dusseldorf, and AACC in Anaheim, where we will be recording future podcasts. If you'd like to be one of our special guests, get in touch with us through any of our social media channels. Also, we would love to get your feedback on Sonacast, so please get in touch to let us know what you think, or if you have any ideas for future guests or content.